Diabetes Breakthrough.
Welcome to America Tonight. My name's Kate Delaney, coast to coast and the nooks and crannies in between. Love me some flyover states. I probably lived in a lot of those flyover states. One of my favorite little towns I lived in was a place called Kearney, Nebraska. And the people were great there. There was a college, Kearney State, and it was a neat little town. Well, whether you come from a big town or a big, bad, huge city, it's all the same. As Americans, we've got some big decisions to make in 2012. I think the common thread is most people are tired of the same old, for real. It's more than I've ever seen in my entire life. From the time I was a kid, listening to people argue about politics at the dinner table, and then being part of that conversation, and then, of course, being in the field of journalism and moving around to some of those places that I mentioned, I've met many passionate people about the Democratic Party or the Republican Party or coming up with something different, but I've never seen what I am now seeing stirred in so many folks, because they're tired of it. We're tired of being dangled over a barrel. I mean, really, it's like we're at Niagara Falls, and we know we're not supposed to be in a barrel headed down toward the edge of the falls, but yet we find ourselves there. We're going to take the risk, and we're going all the way up to the edge, and do we completely fall over and pray that the barrel doesn't shatter and we're killed? Or do we somehow manage to miss and get rescued just in time? That's what it is. We're waiting to be rescued constantly, and we shouldn't be in these positions. You know, we talk about this deficit that we have. Why are we in such a big deficit? Like, you know, couldn't the people in Washington see, oh, we keep doing the same thing. We're spending, we're not getting enough in. Well, we got to keep moving the machine. So spending, well, we really need this, and we need this other special interest thing here, and we got to figure out why ants mate in the summer, even though the temperatures are 120 degrees. We've got to spend at least $500 million on that. It's ridiculous. So the bottom line is, like I said, people are really paying attention to these debates, because now there's been 11. The last one was on ABC over this past weekend. Over 7 million people watched. It was the most watched debate of all of them, Fox being the closest to the ABC debate. George Stephanopoulos was one of the moderators, along with Diane Sawyer. And there was a part in, there's, of course, many moments in the debate. Newt Gingrich talking about his personal life and mistakes and asking God for forgiveness, and now he's older and he's a grandparent and all that kind of stuff. And I think a lot of the candidates sort of clearing up some of the things that are hanging out there, mostly because it's what was asked about, you know, personal relationships. Well, Newt and the strategic decisions and a few other things were mixed in. Here's just George Stephanopoulos mixed in with Newt.
Both big campaigns have made strategic decisions. These are not off-the-cuff comments. They've made strategic decisions to get more ruthless and more personal. That is the argument that Ted Kennedy used against Mitt Romney back in 1994 to devastating effect. It's exactly the argument that Barack Obama wants to use in the fall. So for Newt Gingrich to do that, that's really going nuclear.
Yeah, and so talking about the attacks, do attacks, this was one of the questions that was in the Washington Post, do attacks change your opinion of Mitt Romney or Newt Gingrich? The former Massachusetts governor, Mitt Romney, is stepping up his game with, of course, his newest rival, Gingrich. He's had a bunch of personal attacks on him. So we're seeing a negative shift in the race on the Republican side to grab the nomination there. Does that work, or is it better if they play nice, a little bit nicer with each other, and then go for the jugular once somebody emerges? The problem is, if you're being attacked, you can't, I think you have to come back. So anybody who's been a leader is the guy who's always going to get, the barrage of questions, of nasty questions, and then they start to deflect it, and then you have the give and take in the debate, and that's considered negative. But now, I mean, you actively have Romney out there stepping up the attacks. That wasn't so much a Romney thing in the beginning, but clearly that's what he's doing, because there's a big primary coming up in the beginning of January, so he wants to be, I think, in there. Romney took his first jab in a TV interview where he called on Gingrich to return the $1.6 million he earned from consulting for Freddie Mac, and that was the start of the back and forth over which one is greedier. Because Mitt Romney is definitely part of the 1% club, if you want to label him that. And, you know, so now that's what's happening here. One of the things that Gingrich and Romney and part of this debate is, Gingrich was responding at a morning event saying he would consider returning his Freddie Mac earnings if Governor Romney would give back all the money he earned bankrupting companies and laying off employees over his years. And, of course, what Gingrich is referring to is Romney heading an equity firm, a private equity firm called Bain Capital, and that's what they did. They went in and they consolidated companies, and then people did get laid off. Gingrich said, "I bet you $10, not $10,000, that he wouldn't take the offer." Because this is also another jab in reference to Romney's mocked offer to bet the Texas governor, Rick Perry, at that debate on Saturday night. And he's just pushing that forward. So it's going to get nastier, I have a feeling. I think that's what's probably going to happen here. You have these debates, and you know, somehow, is this making Obama look better, which Stephanopoulos, of course, is talking about? Does this make him look better if they're bickering? They become the Bickersteins, the Republicans, and they're at each other's throats, the contenders for the Republican ticket are. Does that make Obama look that much better? Well, I think it's more a question of Obama's really just pushing his record and pushing, you know, what he thinks is his record that is positive, and the bin Laden get and some other things, and he's kind of circling the wagons and coming back on that. But I guarantee he'll take it. If people don't like what's happening with the Republicans, he certainly would take the independent vote, which is the biggest vote right now that's dangling. Independent is exactly what it is. Independent, they could go in either direction. Although a lot of independents tend to lean more toward the Democrats. Coming up on the flip side, we can count here on ATN.
Discover a natural way to experience cleaner, healthier indoor air without expensive filters and high-priced machines. Discover what healthcare professionals have known for decades. Salt ionizes and purifies indoor air. That's why you need to visit SilverSkyImports.com. SilverSkyImports.com offers a wide assortment of Himalayan crystal salt lamps, handcrafted from salt crystals that are millions of years old, contain healthy ions that eliminate odor, reduce bacteria, and can even help allergy and asthma sufferers, which means you and your family will breathe better, sleep sounder, and have more energy. These salt lamps are available in stunning, natural colors and shapes to accent any home or office, are environmentally friendly, and best of all, they're affordable. And don't forget, SilverSkyImports.com also carries gourmet and bath salts. Order today at SilverSkyImports.com or call 800-494-1369. That's 800-494-1369. Breathe easier, feel better, live healthier at SilverSkyImports.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, "Why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects?" Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com. Here we are, talking about numbers again. We can count. Let's start first with the UN saying about 5,000 people have been killed in the Syrian uprising at this point. Who knows where they go from here? This has been a real bloodbath. I think of everything that's exploded in the Middle East. Isn't it interesting? And we're not involved in this one whatsoever. Not that I think we should be involved at this point with everything that we've done in the past in the Middle East. We cannot do it. But violence isn't new necessarily to Syria, but the fact that you've had 200 people that have died in the last 10 days and overall you've had 5,000 people, the situation is, some people describe it as intolerable, and that's exactly what Navi Pillay said in a briefing for the UN Security Council. The explosions, the gunfire on the street, you know, all that kind of stuff, and Pillay is the London-based Syrian observer for human rights, and you know that's what Pillay saw and what he's seen. Just unbelievable kinds of things happening. They say it's an expression of democracy and free will. Free will. I don't know. It didn't look like free will to me. Some of the stuff that I have seen, and they've had warnings out on the streets and everything else, but it doesn't seem to calm or stop some of what's happened with the people there. That it hasn't. All right, we move from the sad situation in Syria to the 100 snakes found in a German hotel. Police arrested 3 Chinese nationals after they found those snakes, 7 tortoises, and 20 neon-colored frogs in their hotel room in western Germany. They made the actual find Friday after a hotel employee found a snake on a stairway and told the cops. The guests were arrested on suspicion of illegally importing the animals. So after paying several thousand euro for a deposit, they were released on Friday evening, and the creatures have been relocated to Cologne, the city zoo. Wonder how much money they were out with that. Oh, I don't understand these people that are trying to pawn off exotic pets or rare species or whatever it is. Ooh, the snakes, 100 snakes in that hotel. What are the odds that they didn't get every single one of them? Oh, I think that's scary. What's the scoop on hazing? I have to say that I went through a hazing thing when I was in college, but nothing like some of the things that I've been reading that have been coming back again. You had three members of Florida A&M's marching band that have been charged with hazing a fellow member of the band who took her complaint to the cops. She had a cracked femur, deep bone bruising, and blood clots after being beaten repeatedly by two of her fellow students. Bria Hunter is her name. She went to the hospital in the beginning of November, a week after her beating and nearly 2 weeks before the suspected hazing-related death of Robert Champion. He was the 26-year-old drum major for the legendary marching band. The school's board of trustees voted just the other week, if I'm correct in this, to reprimand its president in the wake of the Champion death, and the band's director has been placed on administrative leave while the state police investigate. Ooh, that's scary, isn't it? Ugh. Bringing back hazing, and especially to that level. What are they thinking? I don't know. Truly, did I ever really get the hazing thing? No, I don't get the hazing thing, to be honest. All right, this is another sad story, so sad alert for you once again. But it was too big of a story to ignore, and it absolutely fits into We Can Count, sadly, because it's numbers. But they found the body, the missing mother's body, in rural Tennessee. Do you know what I'm talking about? I guarantee there's some of you that can just pick up on that and know exactly what I mean. They were looking for this woman all over the place. Karen Swift, her name is. She's a mother of four. She was last seen 6 weeks ago. And now, Karen Swift has turned up. They found her body. The thought is maybe the husband, because she filed for divorce from her husband on October 10th. And there doesn't seem to be anything else hanging around. So it was 20 days later at 1:30. October 30th, that Swift was last seen alive outside of her house. Wow. And they tore the place up. Boy, they were looking for her all over the place, hoping that they'd get lucky and find her. But it was not to be. They found her. Unfortunately, they found her body. Wow. And she, I'll tell you, just look at her face. She looks young, attractive, and certainly, what a sad end to her life. Speaking of a tragic end to a life, Amy Winehouse ODing, that was a big shock to some people. I mean, they knew she was struggling with all kinds of addictions, but to have that happen the way it did. So, in her death, she's topped the British charts with a new album more than 4 months after her death. The collection is called Lioness Hidden Treasures. It's got 12 tracks, unreleased songs, and alternatives, versions anyway, of some of her hits. Wow. And supposedly the Rehab and Valerie songs are done pretty well. She died tragically young, 27 years old. 27. A tough way for Amy Winehouse to go out, and she had just done a duet with Tony Bennett, even. And here she had this album coming out. Wow. The number of police officers who have died in the line of duty in 2011 has increased by 14% nationwide from last year. They always release these statistics, the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund. And that's, boy, that's just sad. 14% is a very big number, a very big increase. And it has to be with a heavy heart that some of these police officers are pallbearers, and you see the coffins that are draped in flags and whatnot. But I think that's pretty big. I mean, just violent attacks, cold-blooded murders, that's where a lot of this is accounted for. The shooting death of a New York police officer on Monday made it the 166th death nationwide in the past 11 months. You know, that's up from last year's 146. Ugh. And this comes on the heels after the murder of the Virginia Tech University police officer, Derek Krause. And that death shook up a lot of people on that campus because of what happened in 2007, the shooting rampage that killed, 32 people. That is, that's rough for the police, obviously. Like I keep saying, the 14%, I was kind of stunned having cops in my family. I haven't heard them specifically talk about it, but I was stunned, absolutely stunned by the number. All right, rounding out, we can count. We can count. This is the last one. And, of course, when we be talking politics, of course we're going to talk about politics. It's about politics, for goodness sakes, and the payroll tax plan. The White House is challenging the Republicans' version. They don't like it. You know, they squarely want to put this 1% on the rich, the 1%, meaning the rich people. They want to definitely put the money there, and that's the Republicans are saying, no, we're not going to take the money out of there. We're not going to do that. So they're demanding specific provisions as part of the deal to extend the payroll tax cut. And, you know, does it happen or will it happen? Who's to say at this point? One thing that's stuck in the middle of it is approving the pipeline that we're talking about from Canada all the way down to Texas. And this is a thorny issue. Workers with higher taxes at the lower payroll tax rate isn't extended by the end of the year. That's not going to make anyone happy. Republicans say a payroll tax cut deal will happen, but they're going to differ on the details. So it's not going to be an easy one to pull this apart and come up with something palatable for both sides to like. But what else is new? Do they even like each other anymore? You got to ask yourself that.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why? When you can be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LASIG. With LASIG e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning. E-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. We've talked about this for a very long time. Healthcare, where healthcare is, why people aren't paying attention to what the real symptoms are. And now, here we are, folks. We know this. Key parts of the new law are going to kick into effect on January 1st. But what does that mean for you? This massive overhaul of healthcare approved by Congress. And as we know, now getting kicked, the individual mandate, getting kicked to the Supreme Court, which probably, I was talking to someone in D.C. today, it's looking like most likely June, maybe, they're going to look at this, or right before June, and this is all in time for the election. So who better to have on the show than Dr. Mitchell Brooks to talk about that? He's very passionate about what's happening in healthcare and about your health, things that people just are not paying attention to, namely some of these politicians. Hey, Dr. Brooks, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight again.
You're welcome, Kate. Thanks for having me.
You are very passionate about this. The last time you came on, we had such a great discussion, and there were a lot of people that responded to it because we've talked about this. We've gone to Washington. We've looked at this from all angles. And the thing that, you know, people keep coming back to, I think, are doctors. And certainly you and I have had this discussion on the air and off the air. What's the key thing, and I know there are several, that bugs you the most about what's happening with healthcare in the United States?
Well, we don't have all night, do we?
We wish, yeah.
The key thing. Well, it's interesting. There are several things, but I think what it boils down to is that the relationship portion of the doctor-patient relationship is going to change dramatically and drastically. And as you know, there was a very seminal piece in today's Wall Street Journal in the marketplace section. It actually occupied 2.5 pages of the Wall Street Journal, called The Future of U.S. Healthcare. And it's something about which I've been writing since 1993. There are no surprises here. But one of the things that struck me, Kate, was this particular paragraph under the heading, Getting the Doctors on Board. Ultimately, the success or failure of efforts to change the healthcare system may hinge largely on doctors, and then they use an example. And they talk about family practice and the delivery of healthcare at the primary care level. And really what it hinges on are all doctors. And if you break healthcare down into its constituent parts, it's a pretty simple thing. You have a delivery system, you have a factory, and you have a product. The delivery system, or the workers, are the physicians, the nurses, and the people who participate in healthcare. They've been dumbed down under the term provider. A doctor is no longer a doctor. He or she is a provider. So that's kind of the first step in liquidating the physician's brand equity. The second part of the equation is the factory. Hospitals are factories. This is where we do things. This is where the product is created. And the third part of the equation are the results. What is it that we're doing? What are the results of what we're doing? And how much does it cost over a period of time? And if you can control the workers and you can control the factory, then you control the results and you control $2.7 trillion or 17 or 18% of the gross national product. And this is what's happening today, and it's happening very quietly, and this is what bugs me more than anything else. And it will affect the doctor-patient relationship, it will affect pricing, and it will affect how healthcare is delivered.
Yeah, and powerful stuff what you just said. And to that end, most people, I mean, a lot of doctors have been driven out already. Most doctors are going to want cold cash, aren't they?
Well, what's happening is that the doctors who are in their mid-50s to early 60s are basically selling their practices to hospital systems. And this is the thing about which I'm speaking. This is the danger. Because if the hospital systems own the physicians, and the idea is that if you change the paradigm by buying the physicians, which is what's happened, hospitals are buying physicians, some insurance companies are buying physicians, then what happens is that the norm becomes that people, when they come out of medical school and out of their residency and fellowship programs, when they go into practice, they're really going to go and look for a job and be employed by a hospital system. This is the goal. And these hospital systems are consolidating, and they're essentially forming what I call a healthcare delivery nexus. And what's going to happen is that they will control the physicians that you see, and they will control the actual place of production or the hospital. Well, if they do that, they essentially monopolize the product. So they have tremendous leverage over pricing, over the insurance companies. And what the government will do is they'll say, see, this is just another example of why we need a single-payer system, which is not another example of why. But this is the danger. The danger is that this consolidation is going to put power into the hands of few people, and those interests of those few people are not necessarily going to be the interests of the patient who is the end user or the payer who is either the patient who is paying the bill or the company for whom the patient works who's paying the bill. One of the biggest canards out there is that the insurance companies are the payers. The insurance companies aren't the payers. You're the payer. I'm the payer. Your employer is the payer. The insurance companies are merely paper pushers and people who try and crunch out as much as they can with respect to profit in the healthcare system. And there's been no incentive for them to hold the cost of premiums down because there's been no incentive for the American public to control their health, to control what they eat, to control what they do. Nobody has skin in the game.
Yeah, I like that expression, skin in the game. And you have seen this before because you practice in Ontario, Canada, and Great Britain, and then even in Massachusetts. And looking at what happened there, what did you see, a mess?
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly there are things about each system that are very positive. You can't apply a uniform term to a system or a place. The system in Ontario is good. It provides very good basic health care for people. And instead of having a single payer system, which would be disastrous for this country, we're not Ontario. We don't have a homogenous group of people. We have a diverse group of people, and we kill more people every year with knives and guns and automobile accidents than they do in the entire country of Canada. So in terms of the amount of trauma that they see in a whole country. So it's an apples to oranges comparison, but what they do well in Canada is administrative costs. We pay four times as much to push paper in this country as they do in Canada. If we had a single system of payment as they do in Canada, we could probably save between $100 and $200 billion a year in our healthcare costs. That's a very simple thing to do. And it doesn't cost anything to do out of the taxpayer's pocket. So this is one of the things we can take away that's positive. Again, good primary care is delivered, although there is a shortage of physicians in Ontario and in Great Britain. They don't do the complex things well in terms of availability. They certainly do them well in terms of the physician skill level. The skill level in Canada and Great Britain is very high. But the terms of availability of the procedures, of the number of physicians to perform these complex procedures, the number of equipment and the type of equipment necessary, it's not there. The largest concentration of MRI machines per capita in the United States is located in Buffalo, New York, and there's a good reason for that, because anybody in Ontario who needs an MRI will drive to Buffalo.
Wow. Boy, proof is in the pudding. No kidding. And we started off and you were talking about, and I will put a link on this, by the way, on AmericaTonight.net, but Ann Matthews' Wall Street Journal piece, The Future of American Healthcare, as Dr.
Yeah,
Brooks
it's a brilliant
said.
Piece.
I agree.
It should be read by everybody. And, you know, between the lines, there's that hidden danger of consolidation of power in the hands of too few people. And there, you know, they can paint as nice a picture as they want on it. Once you start centralizing the cost of health care, you're going to have basically an HMO on steroids, and that's essentially what Anna Matthews has written about, and that's what we're going to have. No one's going to spend time with you because no one can afford to spend time with you, and you will likely be seen by a physician extender than you will by a real doctor. And if you are seen by a real doctor, it'll be what I call a drive-by visit. And it's going to be very unsatisfactory, but hey, it's for free, right?
Yeah, hey, it's for free. Yeah. Do you think, ultimately, Doc, do you understand why the politicians aren't listening? Why didn't they talk to more doctors? I mean, I know you went on the Hill. You went up to the Hill. You spoke to some people. I know some other doctors that did, but they came away very frustrated.
I provided documents and testimony here in Dallas.
Yeah.
I wasn't physically in Washington.
Yeah.
But the reason is because we don't have political power. Physicians don't give large amounts of money to PACs. And the politicians are not interested in fact. They're interested in stories. They're interested in solving a problem from a political perspective top down and not bottom up. And you can't solve a problem like healthcare with a political imprimatur. It turns out to be a disaster. I mean, you know, everyone says, look at the post office, look at anything the government touches. And as you say, the proof of the pudding. I mean, government, by definition, is a cumbersome, bulky thing. And it's a camel that was designed by a committee of people who were set out to design a horse. And that's what government is. It's a big waste of money, and it's a huge insider trading scam, as we're now coming to find out.
Oh, yeah. Boy, isn't that the truth. You hit our hot button, certainly, here on the show. If you want to call in, 800-259-5791, we're going to be talking about this. Dr. Brooks, as always, opinionated, right on the money, and thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you very much, Kate. Have a great holiday, and Merry Christmas to everybody, and a Happy New Year.
You too.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com and now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
The perfect water for drinking, bathing, and cleaning. Right at your fingertips? Yes, you can now have the most powerful water ionizer on the market for less than half the price of competitors. The Genesis Platinum Water Ionizer from GibsonsHealth.com creates the perfect drinking water of 9.5 pH, automatically cleans every time you use it, and even tells you when to change filters. Other 7-plate water ionizers are priced at $2,000 or even $3,000. But the Genesis Platinum is only $16.95. Get yours today at GibsonsHealth.com. Under Nutritionals, be sure to click on Essential Oils for Aromatic Liquids Extracted from a Broad Range of Flowers, Stems, Seeds, and Bark. And to really balance your body, click on Go Green, the most complete green drink available, necessary for survival. All this and more are found at GibsonsHealth.com. Call 800-388-6844. That's 800-388-6844 or GibsonsHealth.com. Healthful living since 1974.
Long-range patrol ration entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug-out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the Freeze-Dry Guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. Your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy.
My friends, if only that was true, that old Beatles lyric. Unfortunately, it takes a little bit more than that, especially in some of these circumstances. Jerry Sandusky, he's not getting any love from most people who are familiar with his story. Big hearing on Tuesday, and it will be live. In other words, not televised on the tube, but reporters will be able to Twitter out, send emails, all that kind of stuff. And trust me, there's going to be a slew of that happening because you've got this Penn State former assistant coach who brought down the house at Happy Valley. He turned happy into a frown because he had that Second Mile charity since the 70s and he's facing now 52 charges that he sexually abused 10 boys. The number keeps going up between 94 and 2009. So now in this preliminary hearing, this is where you first get a sense of what's going to be presented from the two sides, because you've got evidence and questions with the witnesses. I think the thing that's going to be interesting is to see what ultimately happens, where the judge who presides over the hearing, you know, says basically that the case is going to be bound over to trial court, and I can't imagine that it won't, but this is one of the things that we do in our legal system. Sandusky is a guy who, you know, was the defensive coordinator of the Lions forever and a day. And like I said, then he founded that charity, and it was just a funnel for him. Sorry. I know, innocent until proven guilty. But this is going to be a wild circus outside of this Center County Courthouse in Pennsylvania, in Belafonte, Pennsylvania. And, you know, they've got 100 seats. Check this out. They got 100 seats reserved for the media. And the court had a lottery last week, a lottery. 1,339 people applied to it to figure out who in the public would get the remaining seats, because in this courthouse they only have 200 seats. And they've got a satellite courtroom where you can also see the video transmission, but it's not going live other than the tweets and all that kind of stuff, as I said. Ooh, court of public opinion. Can't imagine. And sad. It'll be sad to hear some of those details. I am so certain of it. All right, we've talked about a lot of different things this hour, including Jan Brewer and the Arizona immigration law. That's huge. That's another big shoe to drop in a big election year, which will happen in the spring. Same thing with the healthcare law that we just talked about. The individual mandate, I think, is super, super big. But the healthcare is such a mess, and there's so many things that have not already been spelled out. We're going to Washington in January, and we'll flush out some more details of what's happening and what's not happening in D.C. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Let's go to Andrew in Texas. Hello.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm good. I was just listening to the show. I don't get a chance to listen all the time, but when I did get a chance to listen, I tried to call just a little while ago, and, you know, there's that the new program's kicking in January 1st. I guess for starters, I should say that I'm a Latino. I'm third generation from over South America.
Yeah.
But I'm American, and I went to school here. I'm fluent in four different languages, though. Sometimes that can be intimidating to some people, though, but I'm acclimated well, because I've lived in South America, too, before. I speak English very well. Well, I'm not great at it, but I'm pretty good at it. But my point is that I was listening to Doc, and you know, money's always the bottom line in this country because, you know, I've done a little bit of traveling, and we do live in a capitalistic society, which is great. You know, everybody, and that's what's one of the good points of America, I think. You know, I was watching our program. I don't know. Have you ever seen the Frontline documentary called Sick Around the World?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. It's very good.
What did you think about it?
Oh, I thought they made some excellent points that people aren't, when in ranking, especially in looking at where we are in America with our health care compared to some other nations. I think because we've done a ton of things on this show about it and comparing what they did with Frontline, I think there's still so much, Andrew, that people don't realize what's happened in America, how everything's, we've had this great collapse. And I, while the doc didn't put much on insurance, I put a lot of this squarely on insurance and the fact that why don't we have the competition where you can erase the state lines? That's part of it. You know, when you, they're free to just jack up these premiums all over the place and charge, in the hospitals, charge crazy amounts of money for, like, I have a friend in the hospital now that's been there for 6 weeks And what were they charging? The aspirin thing always comes up, but it was something else. It was a heartburn deal, like a regular over-the-counter heartburn pill thing. And they were charging a crazy amount of money for it. I just don't get it.
Yeah, you know, the doc was right that there's a big bureaucracy which equates to millions of dollars lost that could be thrown back into the healthcare system and maybe go to the doctors. I just feel that, and greed, of course, is part of it. And the way our system is just structured, of course, they have to have malpractice insurance and things like that. But in order for it to work, what was Frontline saying that everybody has to be in it to charge the same price for all the procedures across the board instead of one hospital charging 200% more than maybe another hospital and things like that. But we have a lot of work to do, of course, with that. But, you know, I see I work for the government, and then I work for city government, and then I also have a I'm a contractor also part-time. And I see the people where I work at, the contractor's job, my part-time job, that there are some a lot of full-timers there, and they have no insurance. And I feel so bad for them, and I just
know.
Think they work hard, and I feel they're God-given right. If they're working like that, they should have an opportunity to and to be covered. And I was sitting down, as a matter of fact, just a little while ago with one of them and having a bite to eat, and he said that he just threw something out at me, and he said, you know, why doesn't this country maybe offer things like health clubs, more health clubs? Maybe the employers pay for their health clubs, because then he was talking about obesity, how it's associated with almost every ailment, and maybe we should offer people education at health clubs and
wellness,
health
clubs. Yeah.
And, I mean, I can go on, like the doctor you don't have all night, but I just feel that we need to open up not only our minds, but our hearts, too, to people who are actually working very hard out in this world, and let them have an opportunity, to keep their health up and things, and be fair about it.
There's a better way to do it. Let me ask you this. You know, you said you're Latino. I used to be married to a Cuban-American, and I spent a lot of time in South America, and his family hated the illegal situation because they had to kill themselves to get here legally, and all the hoops that they had to jump through. Where do you stand on all of that?
I knew that question was coming, Kay.
Well, I'm saying it was in my world. I'm saying, you know, we're going to have to, look, we're up against it. But you know,
sure.
What? It is a tough question because I've seen all sides of that. I've seen it from all sides. I lived in Spain. I traveled in South America. And I've had people call this show and say, listen, my family had to wait in line. My family killed themselves to get here, and I'm a proud Latino, and I don't like to be lumped in, and I don't think it's right. That's why I'm saying, thanks so much for the call. That's why I'm saying it's such a tough thing to tackle, and now here it comes down the pike with the Supreme Court. Could have an effect on this upcoming election.